Good morning. It is good to see each one here this morning. I know that we still have a number of folks who are out traveling with the Thanksgiving holiday and also some who are under the weather. But we are grateful for you being here. We're grateful for our visitors being with us this morning. We hope that you'll come back at every opportunity that you have. We will not be using PowerPoint for the lesson this morning. However, there are handouts back at the back. If anybody would like one of those to follow along with and doesn't have one yet, please feel free to take one of those. I hope that you will open your Bibles with me this morning to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 is where we will be taking the text for the lesson this morning. You know, as you go through and you read the New Testament, one of the central figures for the discussion of faith is Abraham. We saw in our reading just a few moments ago from James chapter 2 how James talks about the faith of Abraham. He will be discussed again in Romans chapter 4 in talking about his faith and how it was counted to him for righteousness. Again in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham is going to be pointed out in that great hall of faith that is given there of those who have exhibited faithfulness and dedication to God. And so this morning, I want us to spend the next few moments examining one particular event in Abraham's life. It's the event that's mentioned there in James chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. And it is one of the events that is oftentimes pointed to in the most poignant ways as the key episode of faith in the life of Abraham. It is the occasion on which Abraham is asked by God if he will be willing to offer his son, the son that he has waited for 25 years to receive, as a sacrifice to him. Is he willing to give up the very thing that he has waited over a quarter of his life from the standpoint of the promises of God in order to receive so that he can do what God has told him to do? We're going to begin this morning by reading Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to read verses 1 through 14, and then we're going to come back and we're going to key in on some points that we want to see and recognize when it comes to Abraham's faith. And then after we've looked at those, we're going to make application to them and see how it relates to what God wants us to have when it comes to our faith. Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse number 1, there we read, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Now take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And there he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He said, Here am I. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad nor do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Abraham, you remember that son I promised you? I want you to go and offer him as a sacrifice to me. I want you to notice four different statements, four different quotes that exemplify in this passage the faith of Abraham. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, when God initially calls Abraham, Abraham's response is, "Here I am. I am ready. Lord, what do you need? Lord, what do you want? Here I am." You know, in our day and time, we have these little things called cell phones. And if you fail to reach somebody on a cell phone, you will oftentimes get a message that you have reached so-and-so. I am not available at this particular time, but if you leave a message, I'll get back with you as soon as possible. Click. Abraham did not ask God to leave a message for later. He was ready. He was prepared for whatever it was the Lord required of him, and he responded in such a way. We are often reminded in this particular passage of the days of Samuel, when the Lord calls Samuel and he says, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel, thinking initially that it's the priest Eli, goes and runs to him and he says, "Here I am. What do you need me to do?" Well, that's the way Abraham is here. He says, "Here I am. What do you want?" Abraham was ready to fulfill the command of the Lord. You know, we are not told on this occasion what time of the day this particular event takes place. It is believed to be during the night because verse 3 says he rose up early in the morning. But we do not know at what time it was. We do not know whether Abraham had been asleep. We do not know whether Abraham had been working or whether he was simply sitting and relaxing after a long day. We don't know the situation, but regardless of the circumstances, when the Lord calls, Abraham says, "Here I am." You know, we need to be those individuals, much like Abraham, who, when we see what God wants us to do, when we find the circumstances that God wants us to fulfill our obligations to Him, we respond with, "Here I am." Not with, "I'll be with you in a minute. I will do what needs to be done when there is time, or when things aren't so busy and my life isn't so hectic, I'll do what you want me to do." Instead, we need to be ones who live our lives and who approach our service to God with, "Here I am. What would you have me to do?" But in the second place, you drop down to verses 3 through 6. And you begin to see the steadfastness of the faith of Abraham. God tells Abraham, "I want you to take your only son. I want you to take the son that I have promised to you. And I want you to take that son who you love so much and go and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains of Moriah." What does Abraham do? He gets up early in the morning. You know, a lot of us, if we've been asked to do the very same thing, would have been tempted to try to find anything and everything that could possibly need to be done to avoid or to set off having to go do what God wanted us to do in such a situation. Abraham doesn't do that. Abraham gets up early in the morning and immediately he sets to work preparing to fulfill the commandments of God. He gets the donkey ready. He saddles his donkey. He takes two of his young men. He splits the wood for the burnt offering and he arises and he leaves. Now it's not like he was asked to go across town. It's not like he was asked to take a short journey. God is going to send him to a place, but the text says it's going to take him 3 days of traveling to reach. Now, many of you in here are parents or grandparents. How would your mind be working over 3 days of travel as you prepared to go and to kill your child? Can you imagine the thoughts, the conflicts that would be running through your mind given that particular situation? And yet Abraham is devoted to doing what God says to do. But you know, Abraham is not blind, nor gullible, nor stupid. Abraham has been thinking this through. As a matter of fact, when you turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and if you have a marker in your Bible, mark your spot there in Genesis chapter 22, and turn over with me for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 11, because there the writer reveals a little bit about the mentality of Abraham as he sets about to do what God has asked him to do. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 17, the writer says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called.'" Concluding, this is Abraham, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. As Abraham is traveling to do what God has commanded, he doesn't understand why God has made this request. He doesn't know what it is that God is going to do or how it is that God is going to do it, but he has some idea. He knows the promises that God has made. He knows that God has always been faithful in what he has said he will do, and that God has made a promise that up to this point he has kept. And so in Abraham's mind, he has thought it through in this way. I believe in God. I have faith in God, and I trust God. If God has asked me to do this, this is what I am going to do, because God has the power, if he so chooses, to raise my son again from the dead and give him back to me. As long as I'm willing to do what he has said. That's faith. That is believing in God and trusting in God enough that I'm going to do whatever it is he asks. Even when I don't understand why. I don't have all of the answers of why this is necessary in this place or why God wants me to do this here. But here's what I do know. God is faithful. When he makes his promises, he keeps them. And so somehow, in some way, everything is going to work out because I trust God. In verse number 6, I want you to notice the phrase, or in verse number 5 rather, I want you to notice the phrase back in Genesis 22 that Abraham makes, because here's the second quote I want you to hone in on. When they come to the mountains of Moriah, Abraham says to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship." And notice the next phrase. "And we will come back to you." He knows what God has commanded him to do. He also understands the promises that God has made. And Abraham is fully confident that if he does what God tells him to do, somehow, some way, by some manner, Isaac is going to come home with him in the same manner that he left with him. Do we have that measure of trust and faith in God? That when God says, "Here's what I need you to do," that we are willing to say, "You know what? I may not understand all of the ins and outs of why this particular thing is commanded. I may not know exactly how all of it is going to work out. But if this is what God wants me to do, this is what I'm going to do because I trust Him. And I believe that He will keep His promises." That was Abraham's faith. And as you drop down a little bit further, you see that faith once again exhibited in his statement to his son Isaac.
Because you come down to verses 7 through 9, and there they're going to come to the place. They're going to take the wood. They're going to take the fire. They're going to take all of the things necessary to build the altar in order to be able to offer the sacrifices. And as they are leaving, Isaac, as children will so often do, has a question for his father. It has often been surmised that Isaac is somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 to 12 years old at this time. We're not given an exact date. But he is old enough to, while still being considered a child, to know and to understand and to recognize what it normally takes and what it normally requires in order to be able to offer a sacrifice acceptably before God. He's seen his father do this on many occasions. He has been present when sacrifices have been offered at various times. And he says in verse number 7, he says, "Look, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" I do not know how I would have answered were I placed in Abraham's shoes. But I do know that being put in Abraham's shoes, I would be fighting with every fiber of my being just to be able to give an answer in that particular situation. And yet Abraham looks at his son and he says, "My son, God will provide. Here I am. The lad and I are going to go yonder and worship, and we'll come back to you." And then he tells his son Isaac, "God will provide." Once again, establishing the fact, my trust is in Him. God will take care of it. I will do whatever God has commanded. I will do whatever needs to be done, and God will take care of the rest. This is not simply a shoving aside of Isaac's question. Abraham is giving him the answer. The answer is he doesn't know how everything is going to turn out, but God will provide. And then the fourth statement, made at the end, when Abraham goes to take the knife to slay his son, immediately the angel of the Lord calls out and says, "Abraham, Abraham." And once again, we get that phrase, "Here I am." He says, "Do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him." And here's the fourth statement. "For now I know that you fear the Lord." Abraham believed in God so much, he was prepared to do the unthinkable because he trusted in God enough to know that God would make it all okay. And God knew the depth of the love that He had for him. You know, so many times when we see that list of those who are faithful in Hebrews chapter 11, those who are described as being those people of faith, oftentimes we look at that particular list and we have the tendency to say, you know what? These are all the people of great faith that God has had, and we can't possibly be as good as they are. When you know that's not the reason that they're there at all. In fact, the purpose of that listing, of the giving of those examples in Hebrews chapter 11, is so that we will recognize we can have the faith that they have. We can be the kinds of people that they were when it comes to our faith and our devotion to God. So as we make some applications this morning from Abraham's faith here, we need to ask ourselves, do we have Abraham's faith? Are we developing in our own lives the kind of faith that will allow us to face whatever it is that comes before us with the faith that Abraham had? How do we have Abraham's faith? I want you to notice the different statements that we've looked at. And notice four things very quickly that will help us to have Abraham's faith. First of all, as Abraham said, "Here am I," we have got to be ready for what the Lord wants us to do. We have got to be ready to listen to and to heed the call of God. Whether that be the call of God to be obedient to His gospel in faith and repentance and confession and baptism into Christ. Whether it be that call to be His servants and to put Him first in all things. Whether it be that necessity of setting things aside, removing things from my life so that I can be the kind of person that God wants me to be. I have got to be ready to fulfill the commands of God. In the second place, just as Abraham said to those two young men, "I and the lad will go yonder and we will come back to you," we need to serve God in the second place with confidence and purpose. You know, sometimes in our weaker moments, we deal with God from the standpoint of "I hope," or "I wish." I hope that everything turns out okay. I'm wishing that everything will be the way that it needs to be, and that the Lord's will be done. Abraham doesn't work under those terms. Abraham says, "I am the ladder going, I am the ladder coming back." How do you know? Because I trust in God to keep His promises. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know the means by which that's going to be accomplished, but I know that if I and the lad go, I and the lad are coming back. If I'm going to have Abraham's faith, I've got to have confidence that God knows what He's doing. And that while I may not understand all of the ins and outs, while I may not know all of the details, He does. And if I am faithful to Him, He will do His work. Keep the promises that He has made to me. In the third place, I've got to be ready to fulfill the call of God. I've got to be confident in Him. In the third place, I've got to trust God. My son, God will provide. You know, as human beings, we have a habit of fixing things. When things go wrong, when problems come, when situations arise, we want to fix it. We want to take care of it all ourselves. We want to just be able to go out and to make all of the problems work out, to smooth all the creases and to make everything go back to the way it was supposed to be as scheduled. Sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes life won't let us do that. Sometimes circumstances won't let us do that. And in those situations, we have to have the faith to say, "God will provide. And I trust in Him." If I'm going to have Abraham's faith, I've got to be willing to trust in God. And then finally, if I'm going to have Abraham's faith, I've got to also recognize, just as the Lord told Abraham, that I have seen, and He says, "Now I know." You know, we have to remember as we go through our lives, the Lord sees and knows our faith,
our dedication, our willingness to keep His commands. And just as He does with Abraham here, our faith and our faithfulness to God will not be met empty-handed. Sometimes we have to remember that the Lord sees and knows. He knows what it is we're going through. He knows what it is that we're facing, and He also knows how, even in the midst of all of the emotions and the turmoil, there is no way Abraham is not emotionally going through so many things as he does what God tells him to do here. But God knows. And God responds with favor upon Abraham. And Abraham is called, you remember James chapter 2, verse 23, the friend of God. You know, we can have the faith of Abraham. We need to have the faith of Abraham. But it's going to require us to be ready, to be confident in God, to trust in God, and to remember that God sees and knows. How is our faith? Is it where it needs to be? Is our faith in God the way it should be? Or are we putting too much trust and faith in ourselves to be able to handle everything? To be able to take care of everything? Is our faith what it needs to be? Are we ones who are willing to face the things that God tells us to do from the standpoint of, I am ready to take them on, I am ready to do it to the best of my ability? Or do we think we know better than God does what it is that should be done and how it should be accomplished? You know, there's one more point I want to make as we close. You know, we've talked about the fact on many occasions that God will not ask us to do anything we cannot do. But you know, on this particular occasion, what God asks of Abraham is a foreshadowing of what he did himself, is it not? He says, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to go and sacrifice him to me. What did God do for us? He gave His Son, His only Son, as a sacrifice on behalf of you and me. Do we have Abraham's faith? Are we willing to put our confidence and our trust in the one who was willing to come and to sacrifice His life for us, who made us, who loves us, and who wants us to be His for all eternity? Are we living our lives in obedience to His will? Or are we ones who are trying to do everything ourselves? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, maybe it's in obedience to the gospel. Maybe it's in coming back to Him. Maybe it's needing prayers and encouragement and strength to have the faith that you need to have. If we can assist you in any way at this time, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation here?